Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today on New Life. Joining me, Dr. Dave Stoop. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Steve. Good to see you on the computer.
Yes, and also, great to see Milan Jurkovic here in the studio. I think Milan is Steve. the guru of attachment in the Christian community, and Dave is the guru of Christian recovery. And so anytime you get these two together, you can, no matter what your attachment is, you can recover from it. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's pretty exciting.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm going to go right to the phones here, and I'm going to talk with Janice, Dallas, Texas. KWRD is the station. Hi, Janice. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah. What's going on?
My husband has had two affairs in the past 10 years.
The first one
he had told me about, which was about, happened in 2010, told me in 2012. On his own, he confessed, and I ended up going to the Women in the Battle, I believe that's what it was called then. Mm-hmm. And we went to counseling, and then I just now discovered he has had another affair. It's lasted for about 2 years, I guess.
Oh, wow.
And he just got back from Every Man's Battle. I had gone ahead and filed for divorce. I was so angry. And he finally had was going to sign the papers, and then when we actually started like getting ready to divide everything up, I didn't want to go through with it. I mean, I don't know what I want.
Yeah.
But my question is, the first time around I told no one, you know, and the second time I was so angry I told everyone. I mean, you look at me and I tell you, you know. So my family hate him. You know, my daughters want me to divorce him.
Yeah.
You know, and so I don't know how to build trust, because he's really doing so much right now, and I'm seeing a different side of him, and we're actually being able to start talking like we haven't in years.
Okay, tell me what he's doing that's different. What is he doing?
This time, well, he did go to Every Man's Battle just this last weekend.
Okay.
He has got a counselor. He confessed to our pastor. He's also been involved in the ministry of our church, you know, and so he stopped doing all that, pulled back from all that. He's meeting with our associate pastor once a week. He has a men's support group. And now that he went to the Every Man's Battle, they've gotten a group together where they're, you know, daily checking on each other.
Good.
So he has, and he's come to me, and he's told me that, you know, because at first all these started emotionally, and then they went into physical, because he said, I do have trouble with emotional connections, you know. But he realized that he was not a safe person for me, because he's very critical and controlling. And truthfully, at times, I didn't want to talk to him, you know?
So the question for us is what?
I can't even figure out how, because we're separated. We are not living together.
Yeah.
And we haven't for the last 4 months. But how do you build trust? I can't even figure out how that looks, and how do you get your family to support if we do get back together?
Okay. I got an answer for you. I think Dave and Milan will also. This is the kind of thing we like to see. But how long ago did he go to Every Man's Battle?
It was just this last weekend.
Yeah. So we got to see it.
I just got back yesterday.
Yeah. We got to see it for more than a day. And that's the key. So we'll talk about that when we get back. Really glad you called. 1-800 N-E-W-L-I-F-E. That is the number. If you need some help, we can help you. But you have to call us first. We don't know your number. We don't know what you're struggling with. You call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back right after this.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we have somebody that has been in affairs and now every man's a battle, and she sees things she hasn't seen before. You know, I would just say this. I would definitely not pull back the filing for divorce. But I would give him a little bit of hope, and I would say to him, I'm not going to do anything for 6 weeks, 2 months, because I just want to see if this is real or not. If it's real, it changes everything. If it's just a temporary thing, well, of course, that's not going to change anything. So I'm not going to engage with you because it might not last. But 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, let's talk. I want to know how you're doing. If he were to maintain this for 6 months, now you've got a story to go back to all of those that say to divorce him and say, yeah, I see why you did and I wanted to. But this is one of those rare opportunities for marriage to be something it never was. And he's given me this kind of consistency. I'll send you Worthy of Her Trust, and that'll be a great guide for you to know what he's doing. But Mylon, you have any thoughts here about what she should do, what might be a good step for her?
Well, Janice, I'm so sorry that you and your husband have been going through this. It's very, very difficult, and I want you to know I get that, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. But what I heard you also describe was a core pattern that was in the marriage as well. A core pattern was he was controlling, he was several other things you said, and then you didn't like that, and so you'd withdraw. And so there's this core pattern that's been around for a very long time. Now, he's never, nor are you, ever given an excuse to violate the marriage covenant. But I'm just simply saying, if I wanted to redevelop trust with someone, I'd want to make sure that we had really beaten that core pattern, because you only have two choices. It's going to beat you up your whole life with that kind of pattern that you just described, or we're going to conquer it, and we're going to beat it. And that's really one of your big enemies that you need to work on. So I'd get in couples work with someone who understands attachment and can help the two of you understand your reactive responses to one another and get to a place where you're understanding how to manage the core pattern.
Well, and the trust issue, Janice, has a lot to do. The trust is destroyed in an instant. The minute you found out about the second affair, you lost trust, and trust was disappeared. Trust is rebuilt over time, and it's rebuilt through consistency and predictability. When he does what he says he's going to do, when he is where he said he's going to be, and all kinds of things that that he is becomes an open book to you and says you can check on me any way, anytime, any place, and as he is consistent over time, your ability to trust him will begin to rebuild slowly, and you don't rebuild it quickly. It takes a while, and that's why Steve is saying wait 4 or 6 weeks. I would tell your kids that there's been some changes that we're going to wait and see how permanent they are and how real they are. So don't write them off yet completely, just partially, and
yeah.
Let them know that there's a possibility that he has a chance to redeem himself this time for real.
Just a quick question. What are you seeing that's different? I mean, there hasn't been any real time, but why do you think this might be different?
Well, and like I said, we've been separated for 4 months now, and since then he has been going to counselors and all this stuff, and I'm the one who asked him to go to Every Man's Battle. But he has realized that he did not ever create a safe environment for me. He realized that he had anger issues that stemmed, and after, especially going to Every Man's Battle, it opened up some other things that he realized, finding out why, that he had these anger issues and things. And then when I filed for divorce, and we were actually, because at first he didn't want to sign, and then when he decided to sign, he said, I don't want this, but he was very humble. And he paid half the bills without me even asking him. He's gone way above and beyond trying to do everything that would help me. And very humble and gracious.
Okay. Well, those are all really good things. What I would be asking him is, how will I know if the resolve that I've seen in you is there 4 weeks from now? Who could I talk with that will know your heart and know what you've been doing? Is it the pastor? Is it the guy that was in charge of his group at Every Man's Battle? I would just ask him to think about that. And I would tell him that you see a change and you like what you see. And the question is it temporary or is it for good?
Well, and how he responds to that question, Janice, would be a big relief.
Oh, yeah.
It will expose a lot of the reality that's there, whether it's genuine or not. So that's a great question to ask.
Yeah, I mean, if he starts up with go ahead.
No, you think we should do couples? Because he wanted me to do couples counseling, and I was like, no, I'm going to counselor myself, and he's going to a separate one. But
well, at some point, you need to do couples counseling to get this pattern that Mylan was talking about.
But I think it's great if you kind of hold off a little bit. I'm going to ask Mylan if this is true, because he might have a different perspective. But I just don't want you jumping to, oh, boy, I can't wait to just get all this resolved and jump back in there. What do you think, Mylan? Should there be wait, or is it better to just go ahead and get that going?
Well, look, you could talk to 100 different people, and you're going to get 100 different answers on that question. I like the idea of what Dave and Steve have already said about setting up some sort of a waiting period to see how stable he is and if his attitudes and his humility are still good. But the idea of couples counseling at some time and sooner than later would be that you go on a journey where both people are looking and studying and understanding their historical selves with each other. And as spouses, we're helping to explore each other's historical self. Now, why is that important? Because his anger didn't start with you. His anger started somewhere a long time ago. But for you to be a part of loving him there, having empathy, caring, for him to face the reality of that history, and for you to be with him, it's immensely powerful. That's why I only exclusively do couples work, because the power I see there. But I love Dave and Steve's point. Set a buffer time. Make sure he's proving himself, because you separately have an addiction going on here as well. And so you want to make sure that you deal with that. But then there's time to move into that second phase.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask you one quick question. What happened with the person he was having the affair with?
they went back to their, she went back to her husband, and then her husband has called me and told me all kinds of things, just been like craziness, you know, like Jerry Springer kind of thing. But, so that's.
Told you, like, what has he told you? What's he telling you?
Like, what the whole affair consisted of, and because he made her tell him everything, and so it was just a vicious thing, you know, a big, huge deception for the past couple of years, you know.
Okay, so why did all of a sudden she decide to go back with her husband?
Well, because I found out they were having an affair, and I, you know, Facebook, and I found them, and I told her that I was going to tell her husband, and so she confessed to him. So
okay,
good job, Janice.
Yeah, but here's the other thing, you see. So now you don't know whether or not he's remorseful because he wants to be with you, or it's over with her.
Well, I've asked that too. I said, "What if she had come?" And he said that that she always wanted him to have to break up with me, to divorce me, and go with her. But he said he wouldn't. So I was like, "Why?" I don't know. I don't understand it. You know what I mean?
Okay, but I'm just saying that's a point of caution that you don't know if he's like thinking, "Well, it's over with her now. Maybe my wife will take me back." So you just need to be cautious.
Yeah.
So I'm going to send you Worthy of Her Trust. I think it's going to be a great book for you. And, yeah, I'd love to hear how all of this turns out. And thank you for calling us. Worthy of Her Trust is coming your way. All right, let's go to how about we talk with I'd love to talk right here with Linda, Los Angeles, California. Linda, how you doing?
Yes. Hi. Hi, Steve. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Thank you so
hi,
much
Linda.
For my call.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry. I'm a little over energetic. I just first of all want to thank you so much. I've listened to you guys for years and years, and I can't tell you or begin to tell you how much you've helped me through my divorce. I was going through so much, and just listening to your godly advice. I mean, I remember Steve. You said one time. Because I felt like I had no friends. Everyone had to take sides in like our friendships, and all of a sudden I felt myself like alone. And I remember you saying, "Pray for friends to come in and help you. You know, for God to bring you the friends that you need during this time."
Right.
And I did that. And honestly, I had like this group of friends, a single moms group, that I had no idea even existed until like after I said that prayer, and they helped me through that season, and sure. Also your book. forgive me if I don't remember who the author of this book is, but How We Love.
That's Mylan. He's right here.
Helped me.
Okay. So what's the question for us? We're glad that you got some help. It's wonderful.
No, thank you guys so much. So my question is now. I have a 15-and-a-half-year-old daughter, and I feel like she's had some maybe abandonment issues or something's happening because she hasn't seen her dad since she was about 3 or 4 years old. And, you know, for a number of reasons, he was granted supervised visits, and he decided he didn't want to do that. So he pretty much disappeared. And ever since then, she's had, you know, issues, you know, thinking like that I have a boyfriend and that I don't want to tell her. And when she was, you know, smaller, now she doesn't care, I guess. But I'm noticing that in her, like, friendships or even with her, like, couple of little boyfriends that she's had, she has these trust issues. And she, like, will dwell on it, and then with this boyfriend that she has now, she's like, I just feel like he doesn't care, and she, like, dwells and dwells and dwells, and there's no convincing her, no getting her out of that, so I don't know what to do.
So the question for us is how to get her out of it, or how to help her deal with the trust, or what?
Well, I guess it's a two-part question. I mean, do you think that's what it is, or... You know, and if it is, what can I do about it?
Okay. Well, Mylan, let's start with you. She said your book, How We Love, helped her. Let's let's see if you can help her now. I bet you can.
Well, you're certainly describing a child that has abandonment issues. She's clingy. You said that on the screen. And then she has trust issues. She's always ruminating and dwelling on negative outcomes. Well, of course she will. Right. And in our book, How We Love Our Kids, we talk about how to help your daughter, your son, who has the traits and characteristics of the vacillator. And this is a person who has abandonment themes and who's suffered loss and who's insecure and who overthinks everything with tremendously catastrophic thought processes. The other person is the pleaser. They both are proximity seekers. And if you got that book, How We Love Our Kids, read the pleaser child and the vacillator child and see which one of those more resembles that. And then there's a whole section in there, how to help each one of those kids begin to grow and to grow out of that insecurity. But it's going to take a lot of talk, a lot of processing, maybe some therapy with you and your daughter with a therapist to help her really discuss her fears and get her fears out into the open so that she can manage them.
But what I love is that you're concerned, you're doing something about it, and you want to help her versus say, oh, well, you know, she'll grow out of this or she's got to deal with it on her own. We need parents. Everybody needs parents that are concerned like you are.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here. I'm really looking forward to being with a lot of wonderful people at our Life Recovery Conference. It's a great time to get a little boost in your recovery, gain some new insight from some great people who understand addiction, recovery, and all that the 12 steps can do down the path toward healing and hope and wholeness. Come join us for the Life Recovery Conference. It's always a great time for anyone who's interested in what are those 12 steps and how better can I utilize them in my life and my recovery. You can even learn how to run a group. Maybe you never thought about doing that, but you'll feel competent and confident after the Life Recovery Conference.
The Life Recovery Conference is coming to Orange County, California, Saturday, October 6th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to liferecoverygroups.com.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, I'm going to send a double dog dose here, how we love our kids. Anything else that you guys want to say here for Linda? Because I really think she can help her daughter in a very real way.
I think, Linda, let me add one more thing. I would talk to her more about the abandonment of her father and get her to talk about it so that she can it gets out of her fantasy world in terms of what she ruminates on. And just encourage her to express whatever she feels and whatever she's thinking about him, because he really did abandon her. And those are, Mylon said, her abandonment issues are real.
You know, sometimes it's worse when there's not total leaving abandonment. But like we had talked on another program where he's having an affair, but he's still living there and expecting everybody to just overlook it or whatever. And, you know, at least she's got something that she can talk about. It's concrete. He abandoned her. She can deal with it. She can grieve it. It's not confusing once you're bringing it up and dealing
with
it.
And don't make excuses for him, Linda, because be honest with your daughter as to what the issues were and what the issues still are.
Yeah.
So that she doesn't think she's all wrong.
All right. Really glad that you called. How we love and how we love our kids. They're coming your way. And I'm really glad that you called us. Anybody else, you can get that and a lot of other resources at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go to Marie, Lincoln, Nebraska. And she listens to us online. You know, you can listen online at newlife.com. You can get the app. That's so easy. You just click on it anytime. Sirius XM satellite radio and your local radio station. All of those ways to connect with us. But hi, welcome to the program. How can we help you?
G'day. Thank you for taking my call. I have called in a couple of times last fall and then maybe January. I have a daughter that's 17.
Okay.
She kind of did an about face and personality about the fall of 2016. She started drinking, using drugs, which we didn't know right at the time she was using drugs. It kind of culminated about every 6 weeks something big would happen. She and three other girls left school during the school day and robbed two houses end of that school year. So it got pretty severe. Long story short, she was away from home in a psychiatric inpatient hospital. And then I wasn't ready to have her come home. I wasn't sure that that was long enough. It was 2 months. She went to a residential treatment. At residential school, she went to rehab twice during this time, and she came home and got on Wellbutrin and Lamictal, and she's doing pretty well. The diagnosis, we've been to so many different doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists. The diagnosis ended up being she has a lower IQ at 76 and then a mood disorder with that. All of this kind of catapulted. It started, it seems like, when she was homeschooled for about a year and a half from seventh grade on, because actually 2.5 years, because school got really stressful for her. And this was before we even knew she had a low IQ. And then she went back to school, and that seems to be what set everything off. My question is, now things are kind of leveled off. It has been like that for about 6 months. She goes to counseling. She went twice a week. She's down to every other week. She's doing really well, but she really wants to go back to school and finish her senior year. I'm really concerned about that, especially with that kind of started everything. I think she's always going to need some protection, and I'm not sure she's ever going to be extremely good at decision making. So I guess I don't know what to do. She really kind of pushes for this. She wants us to move to a new community so she can finish out her senior year. And I can see she doesn't want to be around people she was before, and she's embarrassed, I think, of what happened to her for her old friends. She won't get out and socialize. Her old friends have reached out to her. She doesn't want anything to do with them.
Okay.
She just kind of still wants to do what she wants to do. So
okay.
I'm not sure what the next step should be.
Yeah. All right. So, well, let's start with you, Dave. What do you think about this? I mean, what do you think about her dealing with an IQ of 76?
Well, I think that it's a lower than average. It's still functional, but it's also very influenced by other kids who are sharper, and I would share your concerns about sending her back to the same school with the old friends, and the old friends are reaching out, and I think they've been unfairly using her to accomplish whatever they want to accomplish. I don't know what your financial resources are, but I would look at a Christian high school and see if you could get her into a kind of a protective environment where they care about the kids. Even in your public school district, there may be a continuation-type school that takes kids who are not functioning as well as they should in the normal classroom, and they do individual kind of help to get them to where they can graduate. I would look at other alternatives, but I share your concern about sending her back to the same school with the same old friends.
Doesn't seem very wise. Mylon, you have any thoughts here about her and
well,
the mom?
I think the daughter wishing to possibly move to a different community and have a different set of friends and to be able to complete her senior year. I think there's some good stuff going on there in her thoughts and her thinking. And she's saying, I want to get back in it. And we have to take some risks somewhere along the line and let our kids kind of get back in it, especially when they want to do something that serious, finish my senior year. She has to learn to socialize. She has to learn to be able to adjust, find safe friends, and be able to manage herself for the rest of her life in social settings. And so there's lots of places she could go, lots of things she can do, but they all involve social settings. So I agree with Dave. You know, maybe get her into a private Christian school and let her have a good run at having a great year.
We'll be back.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and in the studio, Larry Sonnenberg. He is our president, and he's concerned about our finances here. And so, Larry, talk to us, please.
Well, you know what? I talk about finances all the time, and I'm going to do that. But I want to talk about hope for a second, because what you do when you give is you give people hope. We have scores of people who call us and they feel hopeless. They learn we have a scholarship fund. They get a scholarship. They can go to a workshop and find help. They found hope. They call us because they don't know what to do. They're just kind of stuck. And they, through some discussions and assessing and talking to one another on the phone with them, we find that they do see that there is something they can do, that life isn't hopeless. So they get hope. And so I just want to encourage you that when you give to New Life, you're an agent of hope. And hope is everything. If you don't have hope in your life, it gets to be sad and it gets to be depressing. But hope is valuable, and it's what we do. We're agents of hope. So give and be an agent of hope with us. Club New Life is one way you can do that. We are on a campaign to grow Club New Life so we can reduce the amount of time we spend asking for your support on radio. It's going to take some months to do that. But if we can get 6 people a day to sign up, be one of the 6 agents of hope today that come and help others find hope. We need that. And we give hope, more hope, through the video library that we have offered. And that's through right. through the thank you gift, the Arterburn Wellness Series. So whatever you can do, if you just want to make an individual gift, you're not ready to make a month-to-month commitment, do that this month especially. We'll send you a DVD with 12 videos on it each one is a little agent of hope, and it'll make a difference in your life and give you a taste of what New Life has to offer.
I want to encourage our listeners to go to the website and click on – how do you get to see
those
some
three?
Of those?
Yeah, just go to the bottom of the homepage, and there's a – I think it's under – I heard it on radio, and you can find three videos to watch.
Yeah, they are powerful.
Yeah.
We used to have a different video set up that was a little mm-hmm. more extensive. This is, I think, far better because they're short and to the point, and they're series, and it's a valuable tool.
We've got about 100. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, no, I was just going to say, I had somebody that wrote a letter just saying, you know, the difference between secular and Christian counseling is actually pretty big. And so often a secular therapist might diagnose something as hopeless that a Christian therapist, believing in the power of prayer and supernatural intervention, would say is not hopeless. Mm. And so the longer we're here, the more people we can point to hope through a Christian counselor who knows their Bible and knows how to help people. So
Steve,
call us. Yeah.
Last thing was a quote. I used this on an earlier program earlier this month. It says, Luke said, I have learned so much about love, emotional healing, boundaries, and relationships. It's only right and proper that I support this outstanding program. Please keep this program on the air. It's a tremendous ministry.
He's got the right attitude.
Boy, I'm telling you, that sounds, it's so easy to read that over. Love, emotional healing, boundaries, and relationships. But if you think about each of those things, it's a big deal. So thank you, and thank you, everybody who has and mm-hmm. has been giving and is currently giving.
I thought you were talking about the Apostle Peter, and I was thinking, man, that is so cool. But you're just talking about a guy named Pete that has benefited and took the time to write a note, and we love that. And yeah. So thank you for that.
All right.
1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you need some help, that is the number to call. All right, let's go to, how about we talk with Sherry, Cumming, Georgia. Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Hi there. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
Okay. So I have a wonderful 25-year-old son who is just exceptional. He did the Marine 6 years. He's now a flight medic in the Army. Grew up in church. Love him to pieces. I had him when I was 17, and for the first couple of years, it was just him and I, and then I married my husband, and we've been together for 22 years, so my husband's kind of been Jake's dad forever. So Jake told us December 27th of 2015 that he is gay, and My initial question was, how do I love him? And we have continued to love him. We were not the get out of my house parents. We told him right from the very beginning that no matter what, we love him. We don't agree with it. It is not what our beliefs are. And, but we love him and God loves him. So in the past 2.5 years, I've just done a lot of praying, and not just for my son, but also for me, and how as a mom who dearly loved her son as God loved me, and I know that God loves Jay, but how do I not cross and blur those lines between loving him and not accepting the homosexuality? But and sitting here and listening to the other callers, I decided I want to change my question.
Okay.
And I want to change my question to how, because he has put this wall up between him and God because of the sin in his life. How do I get him to understand that we all sin and God loves us no matter what?
Mm-hmm.
But he's refusing to connect with God, and I think that's my main goal, is to get Jacob back to love God and do his devotionals and seek him out, but he's so proud of this statement that I'm gay and I'm out of the closet and this is me and this is who I am.
Okay. So yeah, we get the picture.
My question would be, if I can change it, is
okay.
How do I get him to want to see God in his life like he did as he was growing up?
Okay. So you're wanting him to have a change of perspective that would lead to a change of heart, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, get out of him isn't.
No,
well,
but
quite,
well,
I don't know.
I think, Sherry, the way you do that is by you being Jesus in his life and talk about Jesus more than you, than the generic God idea. And as you love and accept him for who he is and convey that to him in real terms, that's going to have an impact on him. And you have an attitude that is healthy and right, and I think you'll succeed at it.
You know, I just on what I was saying there, you want him to have a change of perspective that leads to a change of heart. But I've found that's almost impossible. Usually it's the change of heart that then leads to the change in perspective. I'm wondering if there is any kind of bitterness in his life toward any person that he's holding on to. Would you know if that would be true?
Yes, his biological father.
Okay.
He worshipped the ground he walked on. He could do no wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's gotten older, he has realized that his father is not the person that he thought he was. And as he was growing up, my husband and I never talked badly about his father to him. We just, let Jake have his perceptive of him because we didn't want to be the reason that Jake didn't love his dad.
Yeah.
We wanted,
okay.
I keep saying his name. We wanted him to feel that on his own. And as he's gotten older, he's seen more of his dad and the things that he doesn't like and everything he believed he's realizing is not true.
And so his dad his dad didn't give him the fatherly love and attention that he could have. Right? He wasn't there?
Right. Through him. He got it through my husband, but not through his biological agreement, just what he truly wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big debate on how much that has to do with what your son is doing. We'll talk about that when we get back. I'm really glad that you called. And while you have those kids with you, well, let's do everything we can to help them deal with the reality of maybe a parent that isn't there for them or is left, separate, whatever. Let's help them so it doesn't have to become a crisis. But kids aren't robots. We can only do the best that we can do. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Just listening to the spot that ran there and hearing this guy talk about New Life, I may not be the most fortunate man in the world, but many days I feel like it, because for 30 years we've been helping people, and we've just seen so many folks have their lives transformed. One of the toughest calls is from a parent who has a child who is struggling with same-sex feelings. And I think everybody wants, you know, to know the instant, the quick fix. Is there any way? And, you know, you heard it said here, I don't know if it was Mylon or Dave, but to be Jesus to that person, to love above all else. The first time I was ever on Oprah back in the old days, I had about 30 seconds, and there was a big debate, and we had Christians and non-Christians, and what do you do when your child is gay? This was a long time ago. And all I said was, if you're not going to love them, then you have no hope for anything. Well, she had me back two more times just because of that little statement. But I'll stick with it. You have to love them no matter what. And you don't have to tell them you don't approve of what they're doing every time they're with you. That's not really loving them. That's getting your point across. But when you love them, there is potential for them to have a change of heart. Sometimes they have to deal with a wound, a father wound. And when they deal with that, they're more open to anything. But if they have a wound where a father has abandoned them or abused them, then they may put that on God and reject anything that God has to say. And then someone comes along and gives them attention, time, some kind of acknowledgement that a dad didn't. It has an impact. Mylon, anything you want to say about this dilemma that she is in with her son before we move on?
Well, I empathize deeply, and I appreciate, Sherry, that you already said that. You know, it's just something we don't agree with, but we love you, and to be able to make that distinction. I think that that is something all Christians need to learn to be able to say, that I can love you and care for you as a person, but while not necessarily agreeing with you about a lot of things. Now, a lot of people in this world will take anybody who disagrees with them and call them a hater. And I oppose that, and I say, no, I'm not a hater. I just simply disagree. And to disagree doesn't mean to hate. So to disagree is something that we should learn to do, and to do lovingly, as Steve said, and I just love the way you did that. I would take a very different tack here. And, you know, Dave, you've written some material on loving or learning to deal and forgive your father and dealing with your father issues. And I think if you were to hand him a book that really deals with father stuff.
Yeah, we have that Making Peace with Your Father would be a good place.
Yes,
for him to
Making
start.
Peace with Your Father, because we never know, Sherry, what is driving our bus? What makes me want to do what I want to do? And if I haven't had a dad really give me that love and attention, then love and attention from another man can feel really good. But if I really deal with understanding why I, you know, forgiving and dealing with the loss of my father and really face that, it might help him begin to at least deal with a core wound in his life that's real regardless of the lifestyle he takes. And I think it could be helpful to him either way.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you called, and I'm going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. I think it'll be a great help to you, and I'm going to do the double dip here and send you How We Love, because what you want to do is...
We're going to do a triple dip. We're going to send them Making Peace with Your Father, too.
Yeah. Do that, too. Give you a whole library. Your lucky day. But here's the goal with that, is that it provides you insight and depth of knowledge that you can pass on to him, or just understand and hear him in a healing way and a supportive way. We can support people that we don't necessarily approve everything that they do. I would just make a statement about the issue of a child who is gay. My feeling is it's not God's best. That's what sin is. It's not God's best. It's so much more than just a decision to sin. There's so much more complexity there. And we need to have grace and understanding for how all of this developed, no matter what the source is. And do I think that there are people that are heterosexual that are worse, deeper in every kind of sin? Yes, absolutely. Yes. But I do think, I've seen this over the years, I've seen folks who've struggled with the gender, the sexual identity issues, and when they are open to anything, sometimes things change, and sometimes they don't. But it's not something you force on somebody or coerce them into a different way of thinking. I think it has to start right there in the heart, and with God, anything is possible. I do believe that to be true. Billy Graham was asked one time, what would you do if your son was gay? And he said, I would love him even more because of the struggle that he's going through. That's the kind of heart we want to have. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience with like-minded people who listen to this program is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th. And if you want more information on Israel, I believe this will be our third trip to Israel, second time we've been to Rome. And it is a special, rich, rich time. And you never get over it. You never forget it. The Bible is different. Then it's an experience that everything comes to life. There are few places you can go where I can say you will not be disappointed in Israel. There's one country I went to I would tell you never go to, but I'm not going to tell you what that is. But this one, you can go many times. March 16th through the 26th. And I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com. Also, what is it that needs to get better in your life? And what have you tried to make it better? Prayer, Bible study, a support group, whatever. Is it the same? Then the results say, I need to go to the next level. I need to do something different. It's like people say to me, well, should my son be on medication? Well, hey, well, are the symptoms still there? Yes. Well, no, at least not that medication. So when we get results, we want to continue. And when we don't, we need to look at what else is available. That's what I want for you. So please let us help you. Whatever it is you're struggling with, we have resources, tapes, books, videos, seminars, counselors all over the country. That's what New Life is all about. It's helping you move to the next level. And sometimes that next level is just getting back to normal because things have been so very difficult with you. When I think about Dave and Mylon here, they've been on the radio so long now, and there's hardly a circumstance they haven't dealt with. And both of them are rich in what they know about marriage. As we close out the program, guys, give us one little tidbit of wisdom for people struggling in marriage. Dave, let's start with you. What's a great little piece of wisdom to close out with?
The one I always come back to is the fact that love is a decision. And when you decide to love and act on the behaviorally on that decision, love will always be there.
Mm. How about you, Mylon?
I think the greatest form of love is learning to listen to someone. And the Bible says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And so learning to listen to a person's heart, soul, and mind is one of the greatest gifts I can give.
Very good. Thanks for being with us. Call us if you need us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks
we love
for
you.
Listening.
See you.
We Bye-bye. Hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.